Thank you very much. The topic of tonight's shiur is the mitzvah of kvura. In Europe, in many communities, Parshas Chayitzar used to be the Shabbos that was dedicated in honor of the Chevra Kadisha, because in Parshas Chayitzar, the Torah tells about the fact that Avraham Avinu insisted that the Jews have to be buried in a separate cemetery. You need a Jewish cemetery separate from the non-Jewish cemetery. The original pasuk that really tells us that we're obligated to bury people. Who says you have to bury anybody? Maybe you can burn the body. Why is there a mitzvah? So the original pasuk is in Chumash Dvarim, in the beginning of Parshas Kisei. So the Torah says that one who deserves the death penalty, sometimes on rare occasions, he is to administer the death penalty. So the Torah says, when you give the death penalty, you have to make sure you bury the person the same day. It's a mitzvah saseh. Kovetik brana bayam ahu. And then there's a loisa, say there's an avera, l'salin v'lasal ha'et. You're not allowed to leave the body overnight until the morning. The Rashash in his commentary on the Gemara in Sanhedrin points out that the zman, the time, is different. The mitzvah is to bury the body before the sun sets, if that's physically possible. A person dies at 10 o'clock in the morning, you should bury him before the sun sets. Kovetik b'rena b'yom ahu, because after tzeis ha'kochom, it's the next day. And if, for some reason or another, that's impossible, a person dies at 5 o'clock in the evening, so you can't bury him before the sun sets, so then you shouldn't leave the body over till la'alos ha'shachar. Means like psulina, like korbanos, is with la'alos ha'shachar. The Mishnah says, if they left over the body, thank you very much, if they left over the body in order to notify more people to attend the funeral for the purpose of kavod ha'meis, so then it's permissible. You're not in violation of the mitzvah and the avera if your motivation in leaving over, postponing the funeral, was l'kavod ha'meis. The achreinim are bothered with the kasha. The Gemara has a dispute in different places whether darshin and time of dikra, loy darshin and time of dikra. That means that we always try to ascertain what is the reason for each one of the mitzvahs. We should learn what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by observing this mitzvah. That's a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You have to learn what are the dinim, and what lesson is the Torah trying to teach us. But the Tanoim, so all the Tanoim agreed to that you should always try to ascertain what's the Tam HaMitzvah. But the Tanoim had an argument, it happens to be Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the one who wrote the Zohar. Reb Shimon is the one who holds Darshin and Taima Dikro, that the reasons for the mitzvah are treated like a drasha, like Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Pem, that it regulates the application of the mitzvah. If you can ascertain, if all the rabbis will get together and ascertain what the reason for the mitzvah is, so whenever, if you'll have a situation where the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, so the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So the opinion of Reb Shimon has not been accepted. We don't paskin like that. We paskin, you should always try to ascertain what's the reason for the mitzvah, but it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Pem. It's not a drasha. That's called Loi Darshin HaTaim HaDikro. Doesn't the Tam HaMitzvah doesn't serve as a drasha to regulate the mitzvah, to say whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah shouldn't apply. So that's a kasha that some achreinim were bothered with. How can the Mishnah say that if the motivation to leave the mace over to the next day is in order to enhance the kavod ha'meis, to get more people to attend the funeral, to get the children that live far away, to get the children to attend, that it's permissible? You're saying that the reason for the mitzvah is kavod ha'meis, and whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. That should only be according to Reb Shimon, and we shouldn't paskin like that. So the later Acharenim say that that's not a good kasha. There's a simple answer, because here the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second paragraph, whenever the Chumash itself writes a mitzvah and right next to the mitzvah gives the reason, then we say the reason regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. So here the Chumash says, Kovetik b'reina b'yamahu, because ki kilolos elakim toloi, because the Jewish people, man were created b'tzelem elakim, the Jewish people are bonim lamakim, it's even a greater degree of tzelem elakim, and it's a bizoyan ames to wait till the next day. So the Torah itself gives the reason. So therefore over here, whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. So again, the original mitzvah of burying someone who died, it doesn't really say in Chumash the person died. He was put to death by the Beis Din. How do you know that if a person dies a natural death? 99.99% of the people are not put to death by the Beis Din. They die a natural death. So someone murders them. But how do you know that there's a mitzvah of kvura by a normal person other than Harugei Beis Din? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, two brises, one after the other, they say exactly word for word the same thing. The one brise says remez likvura min haTorah. Where do we have a remez? A remez means a hint, an allusion to the fact that even a person who died a natural death, there's a mitzvah kvura. So the first brise says because the word is repeated twice, kovetik v'rena bayamahu. And whenever you have Lushonis Kfulim, whenever the Chumash repeats a word, Nosin Titna, Hanik Tanik, Mos Yumas, whenever you have Pasach Tiftach, so whenever you have a word repeated, so we darshan on that extra word. So here we darshan that even if a person dies a natural death, he should also be buried. The next brisa says exactly the same thing, but it doesn't say the word Remez Lekfura. So it's word for word the same as the first brisa. The difference being one brisa uses the word remez, the other brisa doesn't say remez. So the Lecha Mishnah and his commentary on the Rambam writes that both brises say that there's a mitzvah to bury even Shar Meisim, but according to one brisa, it's a din midirabbanon. Usually when it says remez, it means that it's only an asmach midirabbanon. According to the other brisa, it's really a din min haTorah. What does this depend on? Whether you darshan Kovetik Bren or Lashonis Kfulim. So the Gemara has in many places. There is a dispute among the Tanoim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, we believe word for word and letter for letter, that he dictated B'loshem Beni Adam, Dibra Torah K'loshem Beni Adam. So when people speak, a lot of times they say the same thing twice, and not every word has to have significance. Or should we assume Lo Dibra Torah K'loshem Beni Adam? The Rabbeinu Shalom did not dictate to Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu the way human beings would speak to put in extra words and repetitious phrases, and therefore you should darshan every word. So that's a machloek in Satanoim in many places. So we usually paskin, we usually assume lo dibater k'lishan b'yodim. So whenever there's lashonus kfulim, we darshan something. Dosin titn hanik tanik pasach tiftach and so on. We do darshan. So that's why you look in the Rambam. The Rambam has a psak, the Gemara has a shalat. What if a person leaves instructions that he doesn't want to be buried? He wants to be cremated. Or just leave me alone. Just when I die, just leave me, whatever. He doesn't want kvura. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is kvura in order that he should get kapara? So he says, I don't want it, so he's not going to get kapara, it's not going to help. Or should we say, no, that kvura sameis is because it's a bizoin for mankind to have a human being laying around like this. So he's nishkin balabos. The person is not a balabos to be moichal on the covet of all of mankind. So the Rambam writes neither. The Rambam says if a person leaves instructions, lo tik bruni, don't bury me, we don't listen to him because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. But that's not, the Gemara has said, is it A or B? And the Rambam writes C. The Rambam writes a different explanation. So the Lecha Mishnah explains on the Rambam, the Gemara was assuming that the mitzvah of kavura by other people, other than Haruge Bezin, is only midirabbanon. So we wanted to know what motivated the Chachamim to introduce the din derabbanon. There's a reason A, reason B, and the difference will be, what if the person says, don't bury me? The Rambam paskens like the other Tana, that the mitzvah of kavura by Shar Meisim is a mitzvah min haTorah. So we say, it doesn't matter what he has to say. It's a mitzvah in the Chumash, and you bury him anyway. So we assume that kavura Shar Meisim is a din min haTorah. Kvura means kvura bekarka, you have to bury in the ground. If you bury in a mausoleum, Rabbi Shlomo Feinstein has a tshuva about this, if you bury in vaults in a mausoleum, so you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. In the days of the Tanoim, they used to make man-made caves, they used to make kuchen, and they used to bury in vaults. But those were, that's called kvura bekarka, because they took earth, they took sand, and they made a man-made cave out of it. So that's also considered kvura bekarka. So we assume that there is a mitzvah of kvura by all meisim, but there is a unique mitzvah of kvura by harugei bezin. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that if a person was put to death with sayif, so you can't reuse the sword with which they cut off his head. You have to bury the sword within dalaramas of the mace. And if a person was deserved the death penalty of choking, of chenek, so they had to choke him with a scarf, so you have to bury the scarf also within dalaramas of the mace. So this is a special din only applies to Haruge Bezin. So it's clear that there's a special parsha of kfura by Haruge Bezin, and then there's a din of kfura by Shar Meisim, and we assume that they're both min haTorah. It's interesting, the Rambam was very mesudadik. The Rambam took all the Gemaras. The Gemara is not in order. You think you learn Gittin, you know Hilchas Gittin. There's always something in Maseches Yuma about get that you never heard of in any other Masechta. You think you learn Kiddush, you know about Kiddush. There's always something in Ksubis. Whatever topic you're learning, there's always something in some other Masechta. That's the Medrash has the expression based on the pasuk in the end of Mishlei, Mimechak Tov Yilachma. and Eishes Chayil. And the Gemara is always some Maramakim from some other Masichta, some Favarfin and Maramakim. So the Rambam took all these Gemaras and put everything into order. When you want to find something, you look in the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch took the Rambam and put it out of order. So you have to be a baki in the Gemara in order to know how to find something in the Shulchan Aruch. Sharaf puts it in the order that appears in the Gemara, which is really out of order, not in the order of the Rambam. So the Rambam is very careful to put everything in order, but once in a while there's a quirk, there's something in the Rambam. The Rambam couldn't figure out where to put it. So Hilchas Avelus, the Rambam didn't know where to put it, so he puts it after Hilchas Sanhedrin, and he explains why. Because in Hilchas Sanhedrin, he writes about the Arba Mises Bezdin, and he says in the Chumash, the mitzvah of Kvura appears right after Haruge Bezdin. So since in the Chumash, the din of Kvura is written in connection with Haruge Bezdin, so he's going to put Hilchas Avelus right after Hilchas Sanhedrin. Okay. The Gemara, in discussing how do you know that there's a mitzvah of kvura by regular mason who weren't put to death by the bezdin, so the Gemara says, why do we have to darshan the kefalosh and kavatig berenim? Why don't you just learn out? The Chumash describes in Parshas Chayisar that we have Rama Vina buried sorrow. Why is it mentioned in the Torah if not to teach us that that's the proper thing to do? The Torah doesn't just tell a biography of the Avram Yitzchak and Yankov. Everything is relevant. So the Gemara says maybe that was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu, and Kavod HaMeis requires that you should do to the Meis whatever the Minig has. So that's what the Poskim derive from that Gemara. Whatever the Minig is, we have a mitzvah of Kavod HaBrias. That mitzvah is Lo Yitamo, that's in Parshas Emor. It says, Kohanim are not permitted to be Mitamei LeMeis, unless it's one of the seven relatives who died, so then they're permitted to. Lo Yitamo, if the sister of the Kohen died, so it says Lo Yitamo. So there's a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. How do you read the pasuk Lo Yitamo? Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus. The kohen is permitted if he wants to. If he chooses to, he's permitted to attend the funeral of the seven relatives. And we don't pasuk like Rabbi Shmuel. We pasuk like Rabbi Akiva. Lo Yitamo is a chayva. The kohen, whether he likes it or not, is obligated to be metame, even though it's going to knock him out from being makru karbonis for 7 days. He won't be able to eat truma. He won't be able to be makru karbonis. So that's the halacha. The kohen is obligated to be metame to the seven relatives. So the Gemara in Brachas has a whole sugi of Kavod HaBrias and Daf Chof. So the Gemara understands that mitzvah, Lo Yitamo, that mitzvah is the mitzvah of Kavod HaBrias. The real mitzvah of Kavod HaBrias, to show respect for human beings while they're alive. The Pasuk says, even after they're dead, even then you still have to show Kavod HaBrias. A lot of people have the attitude, while a person is alive, we mevazeh him as much as we want. After he's dead, then you have to show respect. The halacha says the reverse. The Kavod HaChayim is more important than Kavod HaMeisim. You even have to show Kavod to the Meisim. A Kavod HaChayim, you have to show Kavod to the Chayim. The Gemara in Ksubis has, in the second parak in Ksubis, whenever there's a conflict between Kavod HaChayim and Kavod HaMeisim, Kavod HaChayim takes precedence because it's more important than Kavod HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, maybe the Chumash describes the fact that Avram Avinu buried his wife Sora. Maybe that was the minig in the days of Avram Avinu. And the minig, and whatever the minig is required out of the din of Kavod HaMeisim, Kavod HaBrias, Kavod HaMeisim. But maybe if the minig will be to cremate bodies, maybe then it should be mutter to cremate. So then the Gemara needs the pasuk kavatik v'ren. That if you cremate the body, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Kvura, you have to have kvura bekark. How deep into the ground do you have to bury the mason? It has to be 6 feet under, as the expression goes. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. So the shaila was, there was an area, a cemetery, where if you bury the mason 6 feet under, it'll be a bizayin ha-meis, because it's moist over there. It's a lot of water over there. So is it permissible to bury 2 feet under? How deep, how much offer do you have to put on top of the mason? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it says in Shulchan Aruch how much. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to bury one mace on top of the other unless you have 6 tvachim of offer in between. Why 6 tvachim of offer? And then you're not supposed to bury mace and one next to each other unless you have 6 tvachim of offer in between. So apparently it seems from the Gemara that every mace has to have its own 3 tvachim on top, on bottom, and on all four sides. So if you bury a mace and you put 3 tvachim of offer on top of it, so that's sufficient. You go to the mitzvah of kvur. And that's why they had in Europe different areas where they had used up. They only were given a small area for a cemetery, so they would bury mason on top of each other with a hafsok of 6 tvachim in between. Each mace has to have 3 tvachim of offer on top and 3 tvachim of offer on the bottom. this mitzvah of kvura only applies to Jewish mason. Non-Jewish people are human beings. There's a din of kavod abrius while a person is alive, but after the person dies, there's no mitzvah of kavod abrius. Question is why? By Jewish people, there's even a din, even after they die, there's also a din of kavod abrius. By non-Jews, only kavod abrius while they're alive. So it's interesting. We have a din. The Gemara distinguishes between different religious articles that we use for the purpose of fulfilling mitzvahs. The Gemara says you have a talis, you have tefillin, you have a mezuzah, you have an esrig, you have a sukkah, a shofar. Half of them are described as tashmishi mitzvah, and half are described as tashmishi kedusha. So the difference is if you have an old sefer Torah, which can't be used anymore, just not possible to correct it, old tefillin, old mezuzah, you can't use it anymore, or even a tefillin zekel, and so on. So tashmishi kedusha on nignozim, you have to bury it in Shemus. But if you have an old talis, and you buy yourself a new talis, to donate the old talis to the shul, so the gabbai doesn't want it. The gabbai doesn't want it. It's so yellow, it's so frayed, it's so dirty, no one's going to use it. So if no one's going to use it, let's say you have an old sukkah. Yantav sukkah is over. So what do you do with the old sukkah? So if you want, you can throw it in the garbage. What do you do with the lulav and the esrig? After sukkah is over, it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah. On sukkah, the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah. On sukkah, the esrig and the hadassim are hooked to the mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat the esrig, you're not allowed to smell the hadassim. But after sukkah is over, after the zman mitzvah is over, so the Gemara has an expression, tashmishay mitzvah nizrakim. If you want, you can throw it out in the garbage. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't throw it together with the dirty diapers and with the fish bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it out in the garbage. But tashmishi gedusha on ignozim, you have to put old sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, and ritzuas in a plastic mezuzah case, and so on. You have to put that in the shemus. How do you determine what's considered tashmishi gedusha, what's considered tashmishi mitzvah? So Rav Chaim Balozhiner in his Sefer Nefesh HaChayim gives you the criterion. He says, whenever you have psukim written, whenever you have divrei Torah from Tanakh written, that has the status of tashmishi kedusha. And to the extent that you have divrei Torah written, to that extent you have kedusha. So the mezuzah only has Shema B'Hayayim Shemayah, so that has the lowest level of kedusha. The tefillin have four parshas, Shema B'Hayayim Shemayah Kadosh V'Yakev Yachah has more kedusha. The tefillin Shal Rosh has an extra shin on the outside of the bais, more than the Shal Yad. So the tefillin Shal Rosh has a slightly higher level of kedusha than the tefillin Shal Yad, the Gemara says. Sefer Torah has the four parshas plus more. The Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah sounds like he says that if we'll discover the original Luchais, the original Aseres Hadibros, author's copy, engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in person, and we'll have a Sefer Torah that was written by somebody in Shnas Tav Shin Ayin Gimel, so the Sefer Torah will have more Kedusha than the original Aseres Hadibros, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres Hadibros plus much more. The level of Kedusha depends, that'll be priceless. The Aseres Hadibros will be priceless, okay? When the archaeologists will discover, Indiana Jones claimed that he's gonna tell everybody, he's gonna show everybody where the Luchas is. They still didn't, Aleph-Nach. I don't know, it's Aleph-Nach. So when we'll find it, so the Rambam sounds like he says explicitly, the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha because Sefer Torah has that Aseres Hadibros plus more. So the Rav Chaim Balozhiner explains, the Talis doesn't have any psukim written on it. The sukkah doesn't have any psukim written on it. The esrogim, lulavim, hadasim, arabis, you don't have any psukim there. Whenever you have psukim from Tanakh, then it's called tashmishi kedushi. So even after this mana mitzvah is up, it'll still retain the kedushi. So the Talmud tells us, and I got it, we're not sure exactly what it means, but it means something. The Talmud tells us that there's an angel who teaches every Jewish baby before the baby is born, kol haTorah kulo. Then the angel slaps the baby and he forgets everything that he learned. So why did he waste his time to teach him everything in the first place if he's going to slap him and make him forget everything? So the answer is, apparently something does remain. Something remains behind. So apparently because the Malach teaches every baby, kol haTorah kulo, so every Jewish baby has a status of kedusha. So not only while the person is alive and he's fulfilling mitzvahs, even if he's alive and he doesn't keep any mitzvahs, or after he dies, no one's keeping any mitzvahs still, since the Malach taught the baby kol haTorah kulo, even though he slapped the baby, caused the baby to forget everything, that's like an old Sefer Torah that has the status of tashmishi kedusha. You have to treat it with respect, even after the Sefer Torah is possible. A non-Jew, while he's alive, if he keeps his mitzvahs, if he leads a decent life, so he deserves a kavod abrius, he's a tashmishi mitzvah. He's using his body for the right purposes. The Rabbanu Shalom created him, and he wants him to observe the Shem and Mitzvahs B'ninoach. So while he's alive, it's wonderful. And after the person dies, it's like a shofar after Rosh Hashanah is over, like an esrog after Sukkot is over. So it's a tashmishi kedusha after the Zman HaMitzvah is up. So the din is that it's Nizrokim. There is an exception to the rule where there is an obligation to bury non-Jews. The Ramban Chumash writes in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Kavtik Barena Bayomahu, you should bury the person the same day. Kikilos Elakim Toli. Then it says, Veloisit Tamei Asad Moscha. You shouldn't leave Tume in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban Chumash writes, that phrase, Veloisit Tamei Asad Moscha, teaches us that even though in Chutz Lords there's no mitzvah to bury a non-Jewish mace, but in Eretz Yisrael there's a mitzvah to bury them in order not to leave Tumah around. And the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that when Yoshua ben Nun was waging the war for 7 years, it took 7 years till they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. There were 31 kings. Eretz Yisrael is the connecting point between Europe, Asia, and Africa. That's why all the 31 kings in the days of Yeshua ben Nun wanted to have a palace. Everyone wanted to have an achiz in Eretz to be able to control the three continents. And in more recent years also, a lot of people, a lot of nations were fighting about controlling Eretz Yisrael because that's a central location. So the pasuk says in Yeshua that after they killed the 31 kings, they hung them up. Then they took them down and they buried them on the same day to fulfill the pasuk that it says in Torah's Moshe that you have to bury the mason on the same day. So the Ramban says, there you have it. The Pasuk says explicitly that even though there's no mitzvah of kvura by Meisei Nochrim, but in Eretz Yisrael there is such a din of kvura. This poses a problem when you have a medical school. So the students, in order to learn medicine, have to work on a cadaver, have to work on a dead body. So the Pasukim say you're not permitted to work on a Jewish body for three reasons. Number one, you're mevatel mitzvah of kvura. There's a mitzvah to bury the person the same day before the sun goes down. And secondly, there's a nisa nivel ames. You cut up the body. That's a violation. Nivel ames is learned out from the same parsha. You have to bury the mace and kikilas elakim tola because man is created b'tzelem elakim and the Jewish people are banim lamakim, so it's a bizoyan ames. If you're going to cut up the body, so that's an isa nivala mace. The Gemara has like that. And the third prohibition is that a mace is also banoa. So you're not allowed to get hanoa from a mace. And when the students are learning biology, they're learning medicine by dealing with the mace, so they're considered getting hanoa from the mace. So the poskim say that if you deal with a non-Jewish body, so there's no prohibition. There's no mitzvah of kvura on a non-Jewish body, so you're not mevatel the mitzvah of kvura, and the isa nivel ames is based on the mitzvah of kvura, so there's no violation of nivel ames. And then even though it says in Shulchan Aruch that meisei yakam aros abano, so that's only, the poskim say, that's only a chumre midirabonim that the Rishonim came up with, and the Gemara is beferish in several places that the isa hanoa, meisei asabano, doesn't apply to meisei yakam. There are many Gemaras like that. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that it's a shtikel makam mitzvah to learn medicine in order to heal people. So we would permit one to deal with a non-Jewish cadaver. It's a makam mitzvah to learn medicine, to treat people, so we allow it. So the problem is though in Eretz Yisrael, how can you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael if the Ramban says there's a pasuk lo satami asad moscha? So the problem is our problem. Okay. Years ago in Eretz Yisrael, just parenthetically, years ago they had enough non-Jewish bodies, they had enough Arab bodies, they would kill terrorists who would be making trouble, and they had enough bodies of the Arabs to supply for all the medical students in all the schools. And in recent years the government made a law, you're not allowed to use a non-Jewish body, only Jewish bodies. So that's exactly what you're not allowed to do. So the religious people who go, forget about Kohanim, it's a different story, but the religious people who go to medical school, so they have to get permission not to work on a cadaver, because the only bodies that they allow them to work on are Jewish bodies. So some of them come to America, where they allow you to work on non-Jewish bodies. But in Eretz Yisrael, they only allow you to work on Jewish bodies, not allowed to work on non-Jewish bodies. The Chasam Sofer writes in one letter, they have a collection of letters of the Chasam Sofer, not Shuvas Halacha. He says in one place, Baba Nesena Harabim, we don't have a Jewish medical school. So we're not sure about, we all rely on all the medicine that the non-Jews developed based on their research on non-Jewish cadavers, and maybe a Jewish body is different, so we're not sure. But he has such an interesting notion about it. He says, we don't have a Jewish medical school. Now we have a few Jewish medical schools in Eretz Yisrael, in America we have. we have different minhagim, how the Chevra Kadisha washes the body. So the Chochma Sotnam writes that all of these things are minhagim, and whatever the minhag is, that's required. Mitam kavod ames. That's how the Poskim said on the Gemara. The Gemara said you can't derive from the fact that Avraham Avinu buried his wife Sarah. You can't derive that there's a mitzvah kvura. Maybe in the days of Avraham Avinu that was the meaning. Whatever the meaning is, you mechuyev to observe because of kavod ames. So that's what the Chochma Sotnam says. So that's why certain aspects of the Tara, certain aspects of the minhagim in Europe are no longer observed. For example, in Europe there was a very widespread minhag that the Chevra Kadisha would crack open raw eggs and rub it into the hair after the people died because they didn't have shampoo. So they had no way of cleaning the hair. So that was the minhag. Today the people wash their own hair while they're alive with shampoo. So the Chevra Kadisha, maybe there are some who do. In Broyas, Chevra Kadisha, they don't crack open the eggs, they don't put the raw eggs into the hair anymore. Whatever is kavod ames, whatever is accepted as kavod ames, you have to have. The halacha requires in today's seder, you have to have dafke kever Yisrael. You have to bury the Jews in a separate cemetery. You're not allowed to bury the Jews together with the non-Jews in the same separate cemetery. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that there was a big dispute. His grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, held that a kohen is not permitted to come in contact with a mace unless it's one of the seven relatives or if it's a mace mitzvah. The kohen gadol is not allowed to be metame even to the seven relatives, but a mace mitzvah is permitted to be metame. So what's the definition of the mace mitzvah? So the Gemara says if no one else is going to bury the person, that has a status of a mace mitzvah, so it's a bizayin a mace to live it like that. So he said his grandfather, Rav Chaim, was of the opinion that if a Jew was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, and the only one who moved the body to a Jewish cemetery is a kohen, so he felt that that's considered meis mitzvah, and the kohen is permitted to be metame, even though the person is buried already. But since he's buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, that constitutes such a bizayin meis that has the status of a meis mitzvah. He said many gedolim disagreed, but that was his grandfather's opinion. So how much of a harchoka do you have to have? Let's say you have a cemetery and you have Jews buried on one side and non-Jews buried on the other side. How much of harchoka do you have to have? So it's very strange. It doesn't say explicitly in Shulchan Aruch how much of a distance, how much of a separation you need. So what they discuss is the following din. The Gemara has a din that you need a Jewish cemetery. Rav Soloveitchik told us that soldiers who were killed in battle are always buried in a military cemetery. So they bury Jews with non-Jews as well. So several of the Jewish families requested that they should bury the Jews in a separate section. So they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, the government asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, is that really the Jewish law? So he quoted from Parshas Chayisar. It's a biblical requirement that Jews have to be buried separately. So the government listened, and the army made a separate section in the military cemetery for the Jewish mason. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they have another din. The Gemara has another din. You're not permitted to bury a tzaddik next to a rasha. That's learned out from a pasuk in Novi, in Sefer Melachim. Elisha HaNovi was a Talmud of Elio HaNovi. Elisha HaNovi was dead and buried. And then a gangster died. And they were, the Chevra Kadisha says, we're burying the gangster. And by mistake, they buried him in the wrong place. They buried him right next to Elisha HaNovi. So the pasuk says, in order that the Rasha shouldn't be buried next to the tzaddik, a miracle occurred and he had a tchis ames and he walked away. So the Gemara is not sure what's the end of the story. Did he walk away a little bit, then he dropped dead? So then they buried him a little further away. Or he walked away and he walked away. He lived till maybe he had some shot, and then he died a natural death. But it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara understands the reason why the Rasha had a tchis ames was not to be in violation of the din of Ein Koven Tzaddik Eitzel Rasha. The Gemara says, Gemara asked Akasha, but the Mishnah tells us there are four different death penalties, the Skila, Srefa, Herig, and Chenik, and there's a dispute among the Tanoim which is more severe than which. So we assume Skila is Mohammed and Srefa, and Herig, Saif, is Mohammed and Chenik. That's the order that we say in the davening, Skila, Srefa, Herig, and Chenik, by Vidui on Yom Kippur. So that's the way we pass in Halacha. So you shouldn't be allowed to bury one who got Skila next to one who got Srefa, because one is Mohammed than the other. And you shouldn't. So the Mishnah says not so. The Mishnah says that the Bezdin used to have two cemeteries, one for Niskolim and Nisrafim, and one for Neharogim in Echnokim. So the Gemara says, but one is more chomer than the other, so how can you bury the Niskolim next to the Nisrafim? So the Gemara says, Gemara Gemirilo. That's the tradition. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Means despite the fact that we really should have had a din, you're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next door. Rashi here, that none of them are tzaddikim. They all were put to death by the bezin. But there's another din, based on that, you're not allowed to bury a tzaddik, you're not allowed to bury a rasha kalei to rasha chomer. The Gemara has a din in Yevamis, in the sugya of Enisa Chalalisa. So the Gemara has, if someone is keeping track, how can anybody know? If someone's keeping track, one person did 1,000 averis, one person did 1,001 averis. So you're not allowed to bury one next to the other. How do we know what he does in private? We don't know. So generally speaking, we assume all the people in the Mizrahi have the same level of religious observance. So the Mizrahi has their own cemetery. All the people in Aguda do the same level, whatever, high or low, whatever, but it's approximately all the same. So they have their own cemetery. All the people in Broyers have their own cemetery. They're on the same level of religious observance. And that's why each group insists on having a separate cemetery, because you're not allowed to bury Rosh Hashanah, it's on Rosh Hashanah. That's what it says in the Gemara. And the Haruge Bezin, that was a Yotze Min HaKlal, that was Allah HaMashe Messina, that you only make two cemeteries. You make for Niskolim and Nisrafim, and you make for Neharogim and Echnokim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara even has a Machlokes HaTanoim, what if two people did exactly the same number of Averis? They both did 1,000 Averis. Who's keeping track? You can't keep track. And one person, one of the Averis that he did was really two Averis, but it was Ein Issa Chalal Issa. The second Issa couldn't take effect on top of the first. Is that considered that he violated 1,001 Averis? And the cover ben Rishon Gvor, you can't bury them next to each other or not. Ad kadei kach. Lemaisa, who's keeping track? We don't know what people do privately, so we assume everybody from the same group is more or less on the same religious level of observance, so they should all be buried together. So the Gemara has such a serious din. So the Gemara has, so in the Shulchan Aruch they talk about the situation. You have a Jew who converted to Christianity. He dies, so they want to bury him. So the Poskim say you can't bury him next to the Jews. He's a Rasha. He converted to a different religion. It's an Avod Avodah Zarah. So how much of a harchoka do you have to have? So the classical Poskim will say you have to have 8 amas. You have to have a minimum of 8 amas empty space. A lot of times they have the Jews buried on one side, the Goyim buried on the other side, in a thin path, just a narrow path in between. That's not 8 amas wide. So the classical poskim say you have to have a minimum of 8 amas in between, because every mace has what we call tfusas hakever. Some mishnayos have the girsa tfusas hakever, probably galatiyana tanoim, so they said tfusas hakever. The other mishnayos say tfusas hakever in the Nozir and other places. So tfusas hakever is dalar amas around the mace. So you're not allowed to have interlocking Tfisas HaKeber. You're not allowed to have Dalar Amas around the Neis, Tfisas HaKeber. So you're going to bury the Jew who converted next to the other Jew within 8 Amas of each other. You're going to have interlocking Tfisas HaKeber. That's a violation. So the Pashtus is, if you can't bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik within 8 Amas, it should be the same thing between a Jew and a non-Jew. You should have a Harchoke of at least 8 Amas in between. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, about 20 years ago, I remember, I visited Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the year during intercession to visit the students in the different yeshivas. So I visited one yeshiva, so they showed me a tshuva that was written by one of the prominent rabbanim from the Rabbanut, that it's not so. That a Jew has a tfisas hakever of dalar amas around. Because there's a din mede rabbanon that a mace is metami ba'ohel. If you touch a mace, you become tamei. And even if you're in the same room with a mace, you become tamei. So the Rabbanan made a din, even if you're not in the same room, you don't have a roof on top, the mace is over there, let's say, outside, the mace is over here, and I stand within Dalar Amas to the mace, so Dalar Amas around, there's a din to him in the Rabbanan, because he may stretch your hand out by mistake and have your hand on top of the coffin. So the made there, the Rabbanan, that within Dalar Amas, the mace is matamei. Unless, let's say, it's the base is inside a building and there's a wall, there's an ohel, there's a wall separating, so you can't put your hand in. Unless there's a window. Okay. So let's say there's a wall without a window. So even if let's say there's a kohen, the kohen is walking in front of a building and he knows that there's a mace right inside, he's within Dalar Amas. So there, the Gemara says at the end of Soita, they never made this Gzera de Rabbanon that the kohen is not allowed to go within Dalar Amas if there's a wall that's mapsik. Fine. So this Rav in the Rabbanut, he was a prominent Talmud Chacham, he published Shalos HaTshuvos. So he says, by Jewish Mesim, there's a din mid the Rabbanon that Dalar Amas around the Mes has Tumah. So there, since the one who converted to Christianity and the other one, they're both Jewish, so each one has a din of Dal Ramah, so there you're not allowed to have interlocking Tvisas HaKev. You have to be marchik a minimum of 8 amos in between. But a non-Jew is not matami, many poskim hold non-Jew is not matami bohel. So they never introduced the din de Rabbanon that Tuch Dal Ramah is matame. So therefore all you need is Dal Ramah Sarchoka. I thought he was dead wrong. I thought he was wrong. What do you mean? The whole din of Harchoke Dal Ramas is only because of the din with the Rabbanon of Tvisa Sakeva Dal Ramas is Metame. I mean, on Torah, you're only in violation of burying a Jew with a goy if they're one on top of the other. You don't need any Harchoke at all. That's ridiculous. The Pashtus is that the din with the Rabbanon, that the mace is Metame Dal Ramas Viva, is called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deraisa Tikkun. It's patterned after a din deraisa. The din deraisa is that there's a concept of Tvisa Sakeva Dal Ramas around it. What is it relevant for? So it's relevant for this din of harchoke. How much of a harchoke do you need? It's relevant for the din. The Gemara says a din min haTorah, that the sayef, the sword that they used to put the fellow to death by sayef, has to be buried within Dal Ramah to the mace. And the sudash and nechnak about the scarf that they used to choke him to death, if the person deserved cherek, have to bury the scarf within Dal Ramah. So there is a din deraisa of Dal Ramah. It's not that the whole din of Dal Ramah came from this din derabanan. That was nigza because the mace is matami bohel and you're afraid you're going to be mahel on top of the mace. It's a din deraisa. So the classical poskim all say not so. Classical poskim from Europe before the war. The Munkacha with many other poskim in the last century, in the 1900s, they all write like that. Of course you need the 8 amos. You have to have a harchoke, a minimum of 8 amos. The shad is, what if the government doesn't, they don't give enough room to have such a cemetery, to have such a wide path of 8 amos in between. So many places in Europe used to have, the Jewish cemetery had a fence around it, and they buried Goyish and Mason right outside of the fence. So if you have a fence separating, is that sufficient? So many poskim say, no, what does it help the fence? The Mesim are buried under the ground. The fence makes a mechitz on top of the ground. The Mesim are dead. The fence doesn't help. Some of the poskim say if you make a fence that's good enough, it's not in violation of En Kovrin. It has a din of Kevri Yisrael, and that's Kevri Bnei Nochrim. So the minig in many places was that they relied on a fence to separate between the two. But it's really difficult to understand why should the fence help? Because they're buried under the ground. So the fence shouldn't be relevant at all. Some of the poskim in Europe wrote, I think this is the Sholem Eshev, if I'm not mistaken. I remember where it is in my bookcase. Either the Sholem Eshev or the Tum Tavandas. One of the two has a tshuva that he has a feeling that it's not enough, a harchok of 8 amos. He thinks that just like there's a din in Masechet Erevin, that if you have an Erev around an area, it has a din of a Rishu Sayochet, you're allowed to carry, but still it shouldn't be Nifretz L'mokam Asala. If by mistake you can carry something, let's say you would have an Erev around an area, and then there's a bridge that goes to New Jersey. And the bridge starts in the middle of the area that has an Erev. So since you can walk on the bridge carrying, then you can walk and you won't pass any Mechitza, because the Mechitza is only on the ground. So is that called Nifretz L'makom Asala? So we don't allow you to carry Midrabbanan, and we don't allow you to carry in the area where there is an Erev. So the one of the Achrayim writes, he has the feeling that there should be such a consideration of Nifretz L'makom Asala here, that it's not sufficient to have our Chok of 8 Amos, you have to have a fence in addition to separate between the two. But to say you rely on the fence alone without the Chok of Chesam, that is the minig in many places in Europe, but it's very questionable, the Pashtus is, that it's not really right. The Nazis were cremating bodies even before they made the crematoria, even before they started the whole shechita of all the Jews. They would take Jewish people and they would cremate them, and then they would send back the ashes to the family. This is before the war began, before everything. So the Gedolim wrote tshuvas about this. Is there a mitzvah of kvura on Eifer Hasrufin? That's one shayla. And the other shayla is, let's say a person was not religious and he left instructions, he wants to be cremated, and they did. So are you allowed to bury his ashes? He was not religious all of his life. Is there a violation to bury his ashes in a Jewish cemetery? Not allowed to bury inside the gates of Russia. Here the fellow didn't believe in anything, so he's allowed to bury his ashes. So Reb Chaim Moshe has a tshuva and many others from that time, from the 1930s. So they write, based on the Mishnah and Aholos, the Machlekes HaTanaim, we pass an Efer HaShrufim is not Metame. If you have a body that was cremated, so you just have ashes left. Sometimes you have bones left, so the bones will be Metame if you have enough bone. But if you just have ashes, so the din is that the ashes are not Metame. So some say the ashes are not Metame, but it's still a mess. And the Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the ashes. But Yom Kippur Emden has like that. So Reb Chaim Oizen makes fun of that, and he says, no, Efer HaShrufim, cremated ashes, are not called a mace, period. It's not called a mace, so there's no violation if you bury it, if the cremated ashes of a Rosh is buried in a Jewish cemetery. And it's not Tom Kvura, there's no mitzvah of Kvura on ashes. There is Magen Avraham, in Hilchus we have a din that on Shabbos you don't bury anybody, you don't even ask the non-Jews to bury someone. On Yontif, if someone dies on the first day Yontif, you have to get non-Jews to bury. On the second day Yontif, Yontif Sheni Shel Galus, we permit Medina de Gemara, we permit burying Meisim, even Al Yidei Yisrael. So that's why the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Kvuras HaMeis on Yontif discusses this following topic. What's a din by a nafel? If a woman has a miscarriage, is there a mitzvah kvura on the baby? The din is a miscarriage, even if it's early on. If it's after 43 days, the Gemara talks about mem yom, arboim yom, is yitzirus havlai. So it's not exactly 40 days, and Shulchan Aruch says it's a little bit after 40 days. The baby doctors have books where they have pictures of what the fetus looks like. So around the 43rd day, 44th day, so then the whole fetus is very teeny weeny, just an inch by an inch. But it already has a little bit of tzuras havlai. So that's considered a mace. That's already mitami ba'ohel. So that's a shayla. Is there really a din of kvura on such a thing? So the Magen Avraham quotes machloikas achreinim about this. And mikra din we paskin that there's no mitzvah kvura, that it's not tom kvura. And the Marsham writes that the minig is that when the woman is already into the fifth month or so, and she feels movement of the baby inside, so then if she loses the baby then, so the minig is that you do kvura. But before that, you can let the hospital dispose of the body, whatever they want to do. You're not mechuyev to spend money to do a kvura. The parents may feel so distraught, they may want to do a kvura to release their feelings. But strictly speaking, we paskan on a neifel, there's no mitzvah kvura, and it's just a minig after she felt movement. We have a minig that... And Shulchan Aruch says more correct is to bury kfura b'karka, not in an orem. To bury the people in the karka, mamish, not to put a mace in an orem. But in a lot of countries, the government doesn't allow it, so you have to put the mace in an orem. So they quote the Chochmas Adam writes that you should drill holes in the bottom of the orem. By the Hasidim, in America, there are laws, you're not allowed to bury a mace like this because it's not hygienic. So there are some groups who won't follow the law, and then when they bury the mace, they'll pull out the bottom of the oren and they have mamish kvura b'karka. And those who do follow the law, so they leave the bottom of the oren, they just drill holes in it. The Chochmas Adam writes that that's sufficient. If you drill some holes in the oren, that's considered kvura b'karka. So the minig has it for quite a few years, not that old a minig, that we mak bedavket to bury in a wooden oren as opposed to a metal oren. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say like that. In Shulchan Aruch, they talk about burying in a metal oren, wooden oren. The Yerushalmi has brises about that. In fact, they talk about the din is a yini kvura b'karka. So metal is karka. Wood is gedule karka. So if you bury in a wooden oren, that's a violation. That's not kvura b'karka. Bury in a metal oren, that's mamish kvura b'karka. Nonetheless, that's the meaning that we don't do it. Where does the meaning come from? So they say that there's a medrash on the pasuk in Bereshis. After the sin of the Eitz Hadas, it says that Adam Rishon heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming, and he got scared. So Adam Rishon hid among the trees in Gan Eden. So that's the literal translation, or something like that. So there's supposed to be a medrash that when you bury a person, you bury him in a wooden oren based on that post. So I remember years ago, the president of my father's shul manufactured coffins. So at that time, he was the only one who manufactured wooden coffins with wooden pegs. Instead of using metal nails, he used wooden pegs. So he wanted my father to get the OU to give the hashgacha on his coffins. So my father said, "Drei Minishkin cup." The OU at that time, the OU only gave supervision on food. Now they give supervision on other things other than food. So the president of the shul was upset at my father. Why? Now they have. Oh, now they all sell like that. Now all the wooden arad, they all have this heater that they use wooden pegs. In the Yerushalmi, they talk about kvura in a metal aron is in a certain sense better because it's karka mamish. So they have the following din. There is a din of lika tatsomas. The Gemara says if a person was buried in one location, and then it's already a long time, he's already buried a couple of years. So the whole body was already eaten up, decomposed. All you have left are the bones. So they want to collect the bones and put them in a bag and then bury them somewhere else. So that's called lika tatsomas. So there's a din. The day that you do the lika tatsomas, if the relatives are aware, they have to observe Shiva all over again. So the Chasam Sofer says the person who wants to rebury the mace should notify the Chevek Kadisha, he should pay them the money, and they shouldn't tell him when the day is that they're going to do it. So he does not observe Avelis. So they should notify him after the day is up. You only observe Avelis to the end of the day. So they should tell him after the day is up that we buried your relative and Shoyt Patar Nezik. Today, usually they don't do like that. Today, the relative goes along with the bones there. It's Israel, and they have to observe Avelis. That's a whole ceremony. So in the Yerushalmi, they discuss maybe if the person was buried in an oron, in a coffin, and then they transport the coffin, and the coffin still is intact. Sometimes the coffin will not be intact. The coffin will fall apart after long enough time. So if the coffin is still intact, and then you take the body in the coffin to a new location, maybe it's considered as if there's no lika tatzomis. Maybe it's considered as if he's still covered the carcass. So there's one brisa, there's one tana, who distinguishes, he says, if it's a metal coffin, he's still the karka. So you take the karka and you move it to another location, so he's still covered by karka. If it's a wooden coffin, it's gedule karka, so then you have to observe avelis. Then it's called lika tatsomis. But if it would have been a metal coffin, it wouldn't be called a lika tatsomis. It's like you moved the whole cemetery, you moved the whole karka to the other location. The Arsamech has an interesting, usually the Arsamech has chidushim on the Rambam. He doesn't have psokim halach l'maisa. Once every 50 pages, he has a psak halach l'maisa. So he writes in Hilchas Ovil, by Hilchas Kvura, so he writes that in some locations in Europe, the government made a law that when you bury people, you have to pour concrete. So they had all around the body. So the shaila was, is that called Kvura b'karka? So he said, Ein lecha karka gadol mizeh. Of course concrete is karka. What should then? Concrete, you took pebbles, and does it not Kvura b'karka? Of course it's karka. After the Ramban lived in Spain. So after the Ramban passed away, so the Rashba became the prominent, outstanding student of the Ramban. So he gave the shiurim in Barcelona. So some of his classmates, who's this guy, this Rashba? We were sitting on the same bench together. I'm going to listen to the shiurim. So they thought the grass is greener on the other side, so they went to Provence to learn the real Torah by the bigger Talmid HaChachan. So they caused the big machlokes there because they came with Sfardish and Minhagim, and they come to Provence. Provence is a section in between France and Spain. That was always they always had wars between France and Spain. Which country is going to control Provence? And they had some Minhagim like Spain, some Minhagim like France. And there was they caused the big machlokes. So the Meiri lived in Provence at that time. And he wrote a sefer, Magen Avos. So for many years, they didn't know what Magen Avos, they knew it was written by the Meir. They thought it was a commentary on Pirkei Avos. He wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avos. That's a separate sefer. But the Magen Avos is to defend the Minig Avosov. So he writes at the beginning of the sefer, Magen Avos. So he says, the Talmidim of the Ramban came to Provence. So they made a ganze machloikis about whether you say Bari Pri who eats on dessert at the end of the meal, whether you say Kel Melech Naman of Yidam V'Yichidus, when the Chazan is not saying Hashem Alkecha Memes, and about Kvura and Yom Tavrishan, different details. So he writes a whole sefer to defend the Minig Avos of 24 issues he writes, 24 chapters it has. So this is one of them. This grad is quoted by the Mishnah Brura. In Hilchos Kvura and Yom Tavrishan, Yom Tavsheni, so the Mishnah Brura tells you, look in the sefer Magen Avos by the Meiri, and he has this machlokes. Why do we permit kvuras hameis on Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael? It's more covered hameis to be buried by Jewish Chevek Kadisha as opposed to be buried by non-Jewish people. So on Yom Tov Sheni, we allow the Jews to bury, even though they're going to be doing malachas, they're going to be doing Yisrael, we allow everything. So why is that? So some Rishonim were of the opinion, because the whole institution of Yom Tov Sheni is in Gansen mid Rabbanon. So on Yom Tov Rishon, not everything is deraisa. A lot of things that you're going to do are only derabbanon. So they would bathe the body. So they would cook up water. So you allow to cook water on Yom Tov, not only to drink the water, letzarach hayom ktsas. So to cook the water, a Jew can do. Then to handle the body on the first day, Yom Tov is only muktzah. Muktzah is only with the rabbanon. So they would permit washing the body with the warm water. To dig the grave, that's a real to dig a grave. That's probably a malacha deraisa. So they would have the non-Jews dig the grave. To carry the mace is hoitzor letzarach hayom ktsas, not hoitzor for echal nefesh purpose, letzarach hayom ktsas. So even the funeral on Yom Tov Rishon, many of the activities would be done by Jews, and only those that would be Yisurim Daraisa, they would have to have the non-Jew do. And the other Rishonim said, no, that's not the reason. Yom Tov Sheni is more kal. Yom Tov Sheni legabi meis kechol shabiyu rabbanon. That's why we allow everything on Yom Tov Sheni. It's not because whatever is only the rabbanon, we allow b'makom kavod abrius. Kavod abrius is doiche the rabbanon, if it's kavod achayim. But if it's kavod ameisim, you're not doiche Yisurim Darabbanon. Yom Tov Sheni is a special heter. So that was a big ongoing debate in the days of the Rishonim. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. He says, look in the Miri, and it's still an ongoing debate. In the days of the Achrayim also, what the Jews are allowed to do on Yom Tov Rishon. What exactly are they allowed to do? The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. He saw that it was so expensive to do a funeral. The funeral homes would charge such an outrageous amount of money. So the poor people, when a relative would die, they would just run away and they would leave the dead body. They didn't want to be metafel. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that no one is allowed to spend too much money on tachrichim. All the tachrichim should be $2. $1. The Gemara says, and when he died, he left instructions. He was the chief rabbi. They should bury him in inexpensive tachrichim. And then everybody followed that. So that's takanas Rabbi Gamliel. He never made a takana on the coffins. So that's why the funeral home gets you. They said, you want to bury your parents in such a cheap coffin? It's not covered on mace. So they said, you give it tachrichim for $1, and then they'll charge $2,000 for the coffin. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, look, a lot of children feel guilty that they didn't treat their parents properly while they were alive. So this is the way they think they're getting their kapara, by spending thousands of dollars on the coffin. Okay, says the Rabbi Gamliel, only made the takana on the tachrichim, never made a takana on the coffin. But the pashtus is that the meaning is that you just use a cheap wooden coffin and shine. So in the Achrayim, they have a discussion that there was a community where they would bury men in tachrichim, cheap tachrichim, and when women would die, they would dress them up in the big day on tov, in fancy begod. So after this was going on for 50 years or so, so they asked Rabbi Kivega, isn't that in violation of the Takana Rabbi Gamliel? So he said, of course it is. You have to bury men and the women also in cheap tachrichim. So the shayla is, but now, if we'll change it, so now people will be moitzi laz on the earlier generation that they did wrong. They did wrong. So Rabbi Kivega and others have tshuvas about this. The Gemara has such a concept with respect to a get. You're not allowed to introduce chumras in giving a get. Shadol hotzi laz al gitna harishayim. People will think that the original, if the get is kosher the way it is, but we have a chumra, let's say for many years the gitna were written on parchment. And then it came a period of time that the Jews couldn't afford parchment for a get. So they started writing gitna on paper. And then they became wealthy again. So the Achrayim said, let's not go back to the parchment, because people may declare that all the gitna were written on paper were puzzle, because they didn't use parchment. So shalol hotzi laz al daris harishayim, we don't introduce chumras in gitna. So the question is, some achrayim hold that only applies to inyone yuchsin, not to introduce a chumra in a mikveh, because then it'll come out that all the previous the people born using the old mikveh are all b'nei hanida. So you'll be mitzi laz on gitten. It'll come out to what the woman was really in a position, the children may be mamzerim. So some achrayim hold you only have this concept shalol lahotzi laz al daris harishayim. And in Yonah Yuchsin, because to preserve the Yuchsin in Klal Yisrael is a new mitzvah of Kiddashto. You have the mitzvah to be Mechabed the Kohen, in Parsha Samor, Kiddashto. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said it would appear from the Gemara that it's not only to be Mechabed the Kohen, included in the Kiddashto is to preserve the Yuchsin in Klal Yisrael, to remember who's a Kohen, who's a Levi, and who's a Ben Anida, and who's a Hayrasa Shalab Bigdush, and who's a Hayrasa Bigdush, to preserve everyone's Yuchsin properly. You shouldn't lose track. So some achranim hold shalol hatzilah only applies there. Others say, no, it applies to everything, but over here they did wrong. Here, by the burying the women, not in tachrichim, they're doing wrong. So what do you mean, shalol hatzilah? So that's a whole discussion in the poskim, how to deal with that. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Sefer Hasidim that you shouldn't bury two enemies one next to the other. Even though they're dead already, they're buried, they're not going to fight with each other. That's the nidhi. You don't bury a son next to each other. And that's how some explain when Yosef was about to die, Yosef HaTzadik was about to die, so he leaves instructions that after he dies, What does it mean, Itchem? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, all the Shvatim are going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, I want to be buried next to them. I don't hate them. He had reason, he had cause to hate his brothers because they sold them as a slave. He says, I don't hate them, I love them. So bury me next to my brothers. There's no, the Chasev HaChasidim doesn't apply. There's no issue over here. Ben Koivin, Shnei Sonim Zeh, it's all Zeh. Some Achreinim had a meeting that if a person was murdered, so they assumed there must be a good reason, min hashamayim, that he was murdered. Because the Gemara says, even though today we don't have Arba Mises Bezdin, but min hashamayim, they'll still, whoever deserves a skila will fall off of the roof. Whoever deserves a chenek will get this. So some communities had a meeting that if a person was murdered, they assume there must be a reason, min hashamayim, must be that he deserved Mises Bezdin, and he got his right to do min hashamayim, so they shouldn't bury him next to his family, they should bury him in a separate cemetery. So the Chasam Sefer says that that's utterly ridiculous, Mishugoyim, Tadreita Mishugoyim, says, what are you judging the guy? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. So he says, if they wouldn't have asked me, I would have closed my eyes, I would let them do whatever they want. They don't want to bury. But he said, they ask me, the Shaila, I can't paskin that they should be allowed to continue to observe this minig. They're not allowed to observe the minig. They have to bury the mesim in Kivrei Abba Yisayim. Burying in the Shulchan Aruch, they have a whole discussion that it's not proper to exhume a body and to rebury in a different location. So they have three exceptions to the rule. So one exception to the rule is you want to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. If a person was buried in Chutzlatz, you want to bury in Eretz Yisrael, so that's permissible. Some of the Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael were upset about that. So they quoted, they used to bury Amoraim who died in Bavel. It would be a long trip. It would take a couple of weeks, a couple of months, till they would bring the body to Eretz Yisrael for burial. So in the Yerushalmi, they quote some of the Amoraim were upset about this. So they would quote the Pasuk Novi Vatavo Vatatamu Esartzi. They brought the Mesim and they caused Tumah in Eretz Yisrael. So some Achrayim hold like that it's not proper, but the generally accepted opinion is that it is okay. It is permissible to bury, not only to bury Mesim, to take Mesim from Chutzlah, even to exhume a body and to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. It's generally assumed that it is considered Kavod HaMeis and that it is permissible. Rabbi Breuer never liked that. I live in Washington Heights. So Rabbi Breuer said, he used to quote, Vatavo Vatatamo Asartze. But that was the opinion that was basically rejected by most of the Achranim. They don't accept that position. So we assume to bury a mace in Eretz Yisrael is permissible to exhume the body. Or let's say a person was buried wherever. He was killed in the army in Poland, in Russia. And now the whole family is buried somewhere else. So you want to exhume the body to bury it in Kivrei HaMishpacha, Kivrei Ovis. So that's also more b'kavodik, so we would allow that. And the third case is, let's say the whole cemetery is Shikurim are coming and partying there every night, and they have beer cans and dancing and singing, it's a bizoyin, or it's a swampy area, it's a bizoyin ames to be buried there because it's underwater. So whenever there's a bizoyin in the place where he's buried, so we would permit them to rebury the mace in a different location. In Shulchan Aruch it says that if a person dies in a city where there's a cemetery on the outskirts of the city, you're not permitted to take the body to a different location. You have to bury the mace, and that's it. Unless you might bury him in Kever HaMishpoch, unless you might bury him in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say Rabbi Soloveitchik died in Boston. And his parents are buried here in New York. So his daughter said, they asked his daughter, why did you decide to bury him there? So she said she heard from her father, if you die in Boston, you're buried in Boston. If you die in New York, you're buried in New York, wherever you die. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to bury the mason in that cemetery. They give different reasons. They generally accept the reason is that it's a bizayon for the mason who are buried there. As if you're skipping over that cemetery, there's something wrong with these people. I want to be buried in a better cemetery. So it's a bizayon for those mason. Others say it's a bizayon for this mace, that you're postponing the kvura. It's taking longer hours or longer days, whatever. But that's akpeded. Not if the person dies in the city where there's a cemetery, not to skip over that cemetery, not to bury him somewhere else. Poskim have a discussion if a woman was married to the first husband and then the first husband died, she remarried, and then the woman dies, where do you bury her? Do you bury her next to the first husband, bury her next to the second husband? So they have, they quote a Zohar that after Tchias HaMeisim, who is she going to be married with? So the Zohar says she's going to be married with the first husband. So they say, so based on the Zohar, they should bury her next to the first husband. So some communities, Hanaminig, it depends. Even according to the Zohar, she'd bury her next to the first husband. That's only if she had a happy marriage with both of them. If the second marriage was much happier than the first one, so then they say, even based on the Zohar, you should bury her next to the second husband. The minhag usually is if she had children from one husband or the other, you bury her next to that husband with whom she had the children. The Gemara talks about the din of Ein Koyvin Tzadik Eitzel Rasha. So the Gemara there discusses, but when the person died, doesn't he get a kapara? So he's Rasha. So the Gemara says, not so fast. When people die, they don't always get a kapara right away. Sometimes yes, sometimes you need equal basa. Sometimes you have to wait till the whole flesh of the body decomposes. But then after the flesh decomposes, a shayin. So then the person has ready a kapara. So based on the Gemara, let's say, a person, for some reason or another, was not a Shem Shabbos. He started off Shem Shabbos, then he married a woman, Nishkin Shem Shabbos, and then he died. So you can't bury him next to the rest of the family. They were all Shem Shabbos. So they buried him somewhere else. But now it's already 2 years later. So strictly speaking, if the equal boss, so the whole body decomposed, just have bones, so you're allowed to bury him. So Moshe Feinstein has such a tshuva, and the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch say it already before Moshe. Mikra Din, you're allowed to bury the person in the Kever Avosah where the other people are. The only thing is that they have groups of people buy a cemetery plot and they say this is only for Shomer Shabbos. So they want not only to follow the halacha, they want to follow Nochadin, a minig. They have a minig akpeda. This is only for Shomer Shabbos. So then, if they have such a akpeda, so that's above and beyond what the din is. Strictly speaking, al pi din it would be mutter. To have such a kpedus, it's a different story. Many Hasidim have started a recent minhag, they didn't have it years ago, that they have a separate section in the cemetery for men and a separate section for the women. I remember once, years ago, my father-in-law died already almost 30 years ago, maybe over 30 years ago, I forgot already. So I remember once, when his brother passed away, there was stolen a Hasidim. So his brother passed away, so we went to the cemetery in New York. And then my father-in-law pulled me to the side and he said, but he has a plot, he paid for a plot in the other section where the men and the women are buried separately. So I should know, Lachamei Yasim Shonon, that he's supposed to be buried over there. Then Lemaisa, he bought a plot in Eretz Yisrael and he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't relevant. So the Poskim write that Mikaret Din, there is no such requirement, but if they have such a minig, so whatever the minig is, so that's considered the Kavod HaMeis. Different minhagim. The Rambam writes and the Shulchan Aruch writes that when you bury a person, you shouldn't bury him sitting up and you shouldn't bury him laying flat on his belly. You're supposed to bury the person on his back. Then they have minhagim. Which direction should the feet be facing? So what's the difference? Which way the feet are facing? So this is to be mechazik the amune and tchias hameisim. So many have the minhag that you have the feet facing the entrance to the cemetery. Other places, after Tchias HaMeisim, will be able to get up, and walk to the entrance, and walk. He doesn't want to hang out in the cemetery. Others have the minhag that after Tchias HaMeisim, he should have the feet facing Eretz Yisrael. So he'll get up, he'll be on his way to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, different, whatever the minhag is, that's what you should do. Rabbi Kivega started a whole literature about a topic, a meis is also b'hanua. So the Gemara has a din in the last perek of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Let's say a fellow is a truck driver, and they pay him to deliver whatever. He delivers beer, he delivers sandwiches, he delivers meat, whatever he delivers. So they ask him to deliver basa b'cholof. So if it's basa b'cholof deraisa, it's also b'hanah. If it's basa b'cholof derabanan, chicken cooked with milk is muta b'hanah. But if it's flesh cooked with milk, it's also b'hanah. So they don't pay him just to drive a truck, an empty truck. They pay him to deliver the goods. So if the goods that he's delivering is Isuri Hanoah, so he's considered, if he gets a salary, he's considered getting Hanoah from Isuri Hanoah. So Rabbi Kadega has a whole discussion, so how can you pay the fellow who drives the hearse? If it's a Jewish person who's driving the hearse, they're paying him money to deliver a mace.
First time.
Schar batala, okay. Schar batala, sure. Like any other mitzvah. Okay, could be. So this started a whole discussion. So some heard the discussion, so they thought, you're not allowed to get paid to dig a grave. So they later Achaim said, dig a grave? You're not dealing with the mace. The people who do the tara are doing something with the mace. The people who rub the eggs in the hair, whatever, they're doing something with the mace. But the guy who digs the grave is not touching the mace. So that for sure is mutter to take money. Guy drives the hearse, that's the shayla. People who do the chevi kadisha, who wash the body, that's the shayla. Cheerful topics. No, we should be zeicher to the day. Bila mavus la netzach. Lasi lava. Shouldn't have. Should be just open to Mashiach. Back Hashem.
I think like we discussed catacombs. Like just roll that issue now.
Yeah.
Briefly. Yeah. You have to have kvura b'karka, but man-made ma'orah, man-made caves, is also considered kvura b'karka. The Tanaim is the very. And kuchen in man-made caves.
And it's okay to remove it after a certain time to make room for new mason in the same spot.
But then you have to rebury the bones over here. You have a din of likot
tatzon. You consolidate a few people's bones together in one.
You're not supposed to. The Gemara says you're supposed to bury each mace separately. Supposed to bury each mace with the harchoka of six tefachim in between one mace and the other. So the Achrayim say. There's not enough room in the outskirts of every community. Not enough room. So they say that we violate this din. We have no bread, we violate it, so we bury mason closer to each other than the din really requires. Because Balei's prayer, there isn't enough room on the globe to bury all these mason.
So in theory, if they could consolidate the bones into a little box, they could put it in the ground and six fach and put another little box.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Have amputated limbs. Should they eventually be joined to the
mesh?
Once the
mesh
dies?
The din is that an Eved Menachai is Metame. An Eved Menachai is Metame Ba'ohel. So the Gemara has a Havamina in the beginning of Sota. The Gemara has a Havamina that just like a Kohen is obligated to be Metame to the seven relatives, maybe he's obligated to be Metame to an Eved Menachai from the seven relatives. More long as I have him posting that it's not so. So Moshe Feinstein says, but the Kohen is mutami to the seven relatives because it's a mitzvah of kvura. So you see from that Gemara that there's a mitzvah of kvura on the amputated limbs. And the other Achrayim before Moshe was born, centuries before Moshe was born, they also thought of this Havamina. They say, no, that's exactly what was rejected, that there's no chi of kvura. That's what we reject. There's no chi of kvura on amputated limbs. So the Nadi Behuda writes, there's no mitzvah of kvura on amputated limbs. But Mishum Tumas Kohanim, you shouldn't leave it around the house because the Kohen will walk into someone's house and he won't realize that. The Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with an Eid Menachai because it's been Tamei like a mace. So Mishum Tumas Kohanim, you shouldn't leave it around. But it doesn't really need Kfuras Yisra. The hospital will dispose of it. The hospital will either burn it or the hospital will bury it in a general cemetery.
I'm confused. The din of Dalet Amos separating mason that shouldn't be near each other, and then only three
tefachim
separating mason that
each
Jewish
mason. Yeah.
Is that right?
You need six tefachim. Each mace needs three tefachim around. Right. That's when you are permitted to bury next to each other. So you need three tefachim around, which means six tefachim in between.
How many inches is that, or three
tefachim? Moshe holds it at seven.
Be very close.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the Achrayim say that we violate these din, yeah, because we don't have enough. We don't have a big enough cemetery. Rabbi Moshe holds that a tefach is 3.6 inches. You multiply by three, multiply by six. Yeah.
In the tahara process, some people do the tahara with a mikvah, and some people do it with tisha kavim. understand the whole.
Everything is a minute. Everything.
So it's just a minute.
Right.
Is
that's what the Chacham Sadam writes.
Is there Kabbalah or something? It does, I mean, it's the Aviyamos HaTumma.
The source of Tumma. What is enough? Yeah. So years ago, the only used to do a mikveh for unusual tzaddikim and chassidish rebbes. Now everybody has a mikveh. The Yom Shel Shleima, the Marshal and Yivamis complains, and that Gemara that you're not allowed to bury the person who did 1,001 Averis next to the one that did, that's a Gemara and Yivamis Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Marshal writes over there that there's a new minig that's Bezman Azeh also, that the wealthy Balabatim, even if they're not so medactic mitzvahs, they pay enough money so they have the right to be buried next to the big tzaddik Hador. So he says, Hashan Dan Acharpe, you're not allowed to. It's going to be he's going to be punished for that. That he's buried next to a. Says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to bury an Adam Beinoni next to a Tzadik Chosid Mefusim. There's a fellow here from Manhattan who paid enough money, he's buried next to Rav Kook. He was a Shem Shabbos, but I don't think he was on the level of Rav Kook, but he paid enough money, so he's buried next to Rav Kook.
How does one bury Shemus? What are the options of burying Shemus? Does it have to be a basic Loras or a
should be buried next to a Talmud Chacham, or second best, next to a religious Jew. Yeah. That's mentioned.
Shemus cannot be buried in just like the structure site or something like that.
It
has to be.
Some have the minig like that, that they buried Shemus when they would build a shul, so they would, in the cornerstone, they put a lot of Shemus. But the Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to bury it next to a learned person. So this is the Divrei Torah, and he had a lot of Divrei Torah. The second best, he buried next to a religious Jew.
Must be
Shem
Hashem,
or the Shemos. No. Remember once there was a Megillah Esther in the Shemus in Broya, so someone was laughing, the person didn't know that the Shem Hashem doesn't appear. Megillah Esther is from Tanakh, of course, if you have the Divrei Torah with no.
So any page from a Siddur has to go to the Shemus?
Yeah.
Even if there's no Shem Hashem.
Sure. The Shaila is, what if they have weekly sheets with Divrei Torah? No, they distribute all over. So all of these, you have tons and tons of Divrei Torah. Everything has to. It was intended melechatchila to be read once. It was only intended to be read. It was never asid. It was intended to be reused many times over. What if you have a Divrei Torah that was printed that was only intended that is going to be used once? So that's a big machlokes whether that has to be treated like shame or something. If you have shame Hashem, not in the context of a Divrei Torah. You have Shem Hashem Stam in
the
newspaper.
They say at the top of the letter,
right. So the Rogat Shava was makbid not to write Beis Hay because he thought the Hay stands for Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you're not allowed to throw out even one letter. And others thought that that's not right. The Hay doesn't come from Yud Kei Vav. Beis Hay, Hay Shin Mem, Hashem. It's not the Hay from the Yud Kei Vav. And if it would be the Hay, he read a Rambam, the Rogat Shava in Turkey, the Rambam says, that mixes ben Hashem am farish also has kedusha. So he thought the hay from Beis Hay is the hay from Yud Kei Vav. So others didn't agree with his chul.
Did you write the name in English?
God. Oh, so that Rav Soloveitchik used to say that writing G-D as opposed to G-O-D, it is not Amaratzis, it is Shir Amaratzis. And it comes from Jews College. He decided it comes from Jews College. It doesn't come from Jews College, it comes from Rav Chaim Oizen. Chaim Oizen the Chuvis wrote, there used to be a French newspaper, The Israelite. So they would sometimes refer to the Rabbanu Shlomo, they would write A-D-I-E-U in French, that represents the name of God. So Rabbi Chaim Oizen said, if they're going to print it A-D-I-E-U, so we have a Chumra Sagoinim to treat the Shema Shukarim Haloz as Balaz as a Shema Hashem, a Chumra Midirabbanon. So they should leave out a letter and put a hyphen. Rav Soloveitchik himself said that his father was machmer. Whenever his father would go to the bathroom, he would take out his paper money from his pocket. He didn't have so much paper money. He wasn't such a rich man. But whenever he had some paper money in his pocket, it says, in God we trust. So he had G-O-D, so he would take the money out of his pocket before he went to the Beis HaKisa, because you have to treat the Shem HaShikrim HaLaz as Balaz. But he personally never followed that. That was his father's chumrah. That's quoted, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Gaonim. But in the big Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote that. So he personally never held like that. He thought that the G-O-D and G-D-H-D is the same thing. He didn't observe that chumrah.
Same thing with
Lekula. Lekula, yeah. Right.
When a Tahara is performed here in the States, here in New York, for a mate that is being transported for immediate burial in Israel, it's put in a metal armor for transport. Now, is that because what you were saying about that the metal more, is that more aviation?
No, there's a government regulation.
Because maybe you're saying already.
But that's not what motivates them to do it. It's required by the government.
That's what I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Then when they go to Eretz Yisrael, so they don't bury them.
No,
they
take it out.
They take it out.
And they do the opposite. But they do a second Tahara then.
Yes.
Are you calling the Shemas Maunish Kashmish Kedusha, or your Nohe Kashmish Kedusha? The Chinese printers are creating Kedusha, or your Nohe?
I mean, if the one who prints it doesn't know Bechal what he's printing.
Right, and it's also not on parchment, it's on both sides, and it's not.
No, but still. Okay. If he doesn't know what he's printing, probably does not have Kedusha Sashem.
Where did the Talis fall into play? The
talis. Talis is tashmishe mitzvah. So the Gemara says.
The talis.
That's a passage in Maseches Moches. Maseches Moches is written in the days of the Gaonim. It's not from the Tanoim. It has all the dinim of Avelos. It's a euphemism. They call it Smoches. It really means Hilchos Avelos. So they quote that one of the Tanoim, Abishol ben Botnis, instructed his children that they should bury him with his talis. So we have the meaning that we pass on the talis, and others say no, that the Gemara says you shouldn't pass on the talis. So they quote that the Vilna Goyen left instructions that when he dies they should bury him, they should not pass on his talis. And then there was a big Goyen who lived in Vilna also, the one who wrote Yisod B'Sharash Avoda, Rabbi Ephraim Alexander Ziskin, what was his name? Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. He wrote Yisod B'Sharash Avoda as a Musa Sefer. So these two tzaddikim left instructions when they die, they should be buried in the talis, they shouldn't pass them. So when the Talmidim were doing the Tara and the Vilna Gaon, so one of them went to the bathroom for a minute, and he was the one who had the instructions, and the others didn't know the instructions, so they passed the tzitzit. So when he came out of the bathroom, he realized that Min HaShemayim, the Vilna Gaon is not going to get his way. And the other one, Yisoid HaShorash HaVodah, they write that when they were lowering the body in the grave, the tzitzit tore on one of the stones on the side. So they took it as a siman hashemayim, not the chepa with the minig, to leave it like that, even though it's really against the Gemara. The Gemara says that you bury the mason with the talis. So Taisus discusses why the minig changed. In the days of the Tanaim, they used to bury with the talis, kosher talis. The reason why they bury with the talis is to be mechazed of Yamunah and be in Tchias HaMesim, that there's going to be Tchias HaMesim and he's going to come back to life and he's going to need a talis when he comes back to life. That's why the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. Should you bury the mace with his weekday talis or with the Shabbos Dikah talis? What are the pros and cons? The Shabbos Dikah talis is Mekudosh and the weekday talis is Todir. The weekday talis you wear 6 days a week, and the Shabbos Dikah talis you only wear 1 day a week, but that 1 day is holier than the other 6 days. So the Gemara has a suffix in Perakot Todir in the end of Zerach. What's the din if you have Todir Mekudosh, which takes precedence? So the Avnei Nezer has such a discussion. When you bury a person, should you bury him in the Shabbos Dikah Talis or the weekday Talis? So it's usually assumed you bury in the Shabbos Dikah Talis. The whole idea is to be mechazik the Amun and Tchias HaMesim. So have him wear the nicer beged when he comes off the Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara says the dead bodies are going to come back to life, and the begadim that you bury them in will be reconstituted, just like a miracle will occur with the dead body, a miracle will occur with the clothing. And they'll come back to life with their clothing that you buried them in. So you wanted to have a nicer begun. You wanted to have a Shabbos Dikah Talis.
They'll have to be masakim with the basel talis.
That's the problem, yeah.
And that Torah is a silver Torah. What do you
shouldn't bury the Torah. Shouldn't bury the Torah.
I mean, the Shabbos
Talis. Take off the Torah.
You would take it off?
Sure, why?
There'll be a Tchias HaMesim. Why should he have that Torah when he comes back?
The Vaila, that is, shouldn't lose the Torah. I don't think so.
In an unfortunate situation when less than 30 days, or let's even say a stillborn or a 3-day-old infant is prepared for burial, you perform still a Brit Milah on the child is burying him in one of these separate areas away from, you know, still a Jewish cemetery, but in a separate netherland. So why is, given the covenant of a Brit Milah, but then they can be buried within
the Brit Milah, that's only a minog. It's a very old minog. That's not a real deal. We assume that. Brit Milah is only on a living baby. A dead baby is just a minog. I think before the First World War, the Maskilim in Europe were fighting that they didn't want to observe that minog. They thought that it was barbaric. So they didn't want to do a Brit Milah on the babies. And the Chevek Kadisha said, we're not going to bury your babies unless you fulfill the minog. So they went to court over this issue. And then the war broke out. So that was the end of the machlokes. No, Chaim Soloveitchik said they're doing wrong. They should observe the minhag, but the Chevek Kadesh should still bury their babies.
Yeah.
No, that's a minhag that you bury them in a separate area. So it's just a minhag because you don't need such a big space. So why should you waste if it's a little tiny baby? Why should you waste so much space?
No, but I'm not even saying these areas and cemeteries are totally separate. You know, as opposed to
so each one is half the size, one third the size. So you don't waste so much space and bury. At your wedding, yes.
So he wanted to he wanted to make sure that we can make it a night that we all said it's coming here.
Ah.
So why should you come here?
But no.
So should I so just give you a little note right now and we'll check the schedule?
Okay. I'll take this.
Okay, so let me let me give you my phone number. Can I borrow your pen for one moment?
Where is it?